and God bless you this morning. Let us all stand and we'll open our service with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly indeed grateful that, Lord, we could be together on this Sunday. Father, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us in our service this morning, Lord. May everything that's done and said, Lord, be glorifying to you this morning, Lord. And we appreciate what you've done for us, Father, this week, and, Lord, for our safety and for everything that you bless us with. Father, Lord, we just ask that you bless us with your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. We'll sing number 612. As the deer panteth for the water.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than gold, any other, so much more than anything. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Amen. I pray that that's our desire this morning, that our spirit would yield to him. Amen. This time we'll go ahead and take our prayer requests to the Lord this morning. Remember, Brian and LaVon is there in missionary work this morning, and also for Brother Joe Mills and his family this morning. Any other spoken prayer requests? Amen. Remember Sister Patty this morning. Any other spoken prayer requests? Amen. Continue to remember Brother Brian Miller in England, Peter and Diane Gatchell for their healings, for Brother Mark Dorota and Salomea, and also the church in Poland, for Sister Nina and Nisha in England, and the brothers and sisters there, for Brother Collins in the church this morning, for Nick and Elizabeth Roper, for Wesley and Naomi and the kids, William Caldwell and their family, Brother Daniel Fungus and his wife in Australia, Brother Daniel Mabuka in Congo for his health, for Pastor Daniel in India, for the food shortages in Eastern Africa, and also I'm sure there's food shortages in a lot of places, and that if it affects the believer, that we pray for them today, and for anybody that is affected, amen. For Brother the Abbott family in Australia, and also for Brother Phil and his job. For Brother Brian Chips as well this morning for his continued healing. All our unspoken prayer requests this morning can be known by an uplifted hand. We'll go to the Lord with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you this morning, Lord, and Lord, we sometimes don't know why, and but when we get over there, we'd know, Lord, the plan, Lord, that you'd had set for us, Father, and for those, Lord, that may be hurting this morning, Father, and their families and the loss of life, Father, may you be a comfort to them. Lord, may you wrap your arms of love around them this morning, Father, and for all of the requests, Lord, that were mentioned this morning, Lord, for Sister Patty and not feeling well this morning, Lord, may you touch her body, and Lord, for the unspoken prayer requests, Lord, and the lifted hands this morning, Lord, may you just grant them according to your word. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Number 591, O glorious victory. O glorious victory, that day he set me free and made my heart his very throne. My life is no longer mine. I'm a prisoner of love divine. And now I live to praise his name. Who I am, Lord, oh, who I am. Oh, I can see now just who I am. A part of my Savior, a part of his word. It's a revelation, it's predestination of who I am. On Calvary he died to redeem his lost bride. The King of Kings became my Savior. This is God's great mystery of his love expressed to me, that Christ and I might be made one. Who I am, Lord, oh, who I am. Oh, I can see now just who I am. A part of my Savior, a part of his word. It's a revelation, predestination of who I am. Amen. That is truly my prayer this morning, that each of us would get to that place where we really know who we are. Amen. Brother John, Brother Steve, if you would come this morning, we'll go ahead and take up our tithe and offering. Amen. Brother John, did you ask the Lord's blessing this morning?
Dear Heavenly Father, God, we're thankful to be able to come here today, Lord, give back what rightfully belongs to you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to bless these tithes and offerings that are about to be given. Bless the gift and the giver. And may it all be
Amen. While they're taking that up, we can turn to 266, Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lives. lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight. No war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Are you thankful that He lives this morning? God bless you. Now let us all stand and we'll sing Only Believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe, only believe, that all things are possible. Only believe, Jesus, You're here, Jesus, You're here, all things are possible now that You're here. Jesus, You're here. Jesus, You're here. That all things are possible now that You're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, and Lord, we want to open Your Word this morning, Lord, and take a look at what You have for us this morning, Father, and Lord, we just want to, what You would have for us this morning, Father. So help us to move ourselves aside, Father, Lord, and just to be able to read this Word, Lord, here that You've provided for us, Lord, and Lord, it is kind of an easy age, I suppose, Father, Lord, that we have a messenger that was in our age, Father, that had just brought out the Word just exactly how You wanted it to be, Father, and Lord, for us to be able to repeat it just exactly the way You would want it said, Father. So this morning, as we open Your Word, Lord, we ask that You be with everything that's said and done this morning, Father. May You just bless us, Lord, with the reading of it, Lord, and just be with those that are watching this morning, Father. May You be their portion, and for us here, Father, and for those that be overseas, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Now, let's read the first verse real quick, and then I'll let you be seated. This morning, I'd like to talk about the faith of God, since we're kind of on a faith series. Started hearing some of this in Brother Branham's messages, and so I'll take a look at it, and we'll see what he has to say. Romans 3:3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Amen. You can be seated. So Brother Branham talks a lot about that, Romans 3:3, quite a bit, and I didn't put much of it in my sermon this morning. So what they were asking Paul is, if some did not believe, would it hinder the faith of God or what he has plans for? And the answer is no. God's word will prevail at any cost, any way, any shape or form, and it doesn't matter who is in the way. Now, will your unbelief stand in the way of healing? Yes. Brother Branham said you had to believe in order to receive your healing, because that's something that Christ did on the cross and it was already done. Amen. James 2:14-18. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, that's the Jesus was yesterday, the same Jesus today, the same Jesus that will be tomorrow, if there be a tomorrow, and will be forever. When people think that God makes a promise and don't keep it, the Muhammad's or nothing else, I've held the Bible in one hand and the Quran in the other, and say one of them's right and one of them's wrong. Both of them can't be right because they're contrary one to another. I say, you prove that your prophet is dead. He's in the ground. Our Jesus raised from the dead, and he's promised the things that he did will do also. I said, now let's see you do the works of the Muhammad. Can't do it. But the works of Christ is done by the Holy Ghost. And when he comes to anoint the people, do you believe that? Certainly, we believe it. What would keep us from believing? Because God made the promise, God said so, that settles it. Amen? Now, man cannot do that. It's supernatural. It's something that man can't do. While I've just got a couple of minutes time here, I want to explain that. See, man cannot do nothing. It's God in man. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, as long as a branch is in the vine, it'll bear the fruit of the vine. Now, God always used men for agents. That's why he used his son to unveil himself. He come down and took the form of a man in order to die the death for man. He could not die in the spirit, but he was put to death in the flesh. Then God was in Abraham. God was in Isaac. God was in Jacob. God was in Joseph. God was in David. He was in all those people back there, them prophets and so forth. It was God working through men. Now, in this New Testament age, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses his church and sanctifies it. That's his Holy Spirit might continue to carry the work of God on through all the ages. And he's just the same today. If it isn't then we're false witnesses of the Bible. If that isn't true, then the Bible isn't true. It's time that men preach the gospel. It's time that the power of God was made known. When heathens try to step out on the word, we need men like the Hebrew children. Our God is able to deliver us from this. That's right. It's time. God remains the same. Now, God cannot heal you because he's already done it. When he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for your iniquity, the chastisement of your peace upon him, and with his stripes you were healed. It's past tense. If he stood there tonight in a suit and he gave me, he could not heal you if you ask him. He'd say, "I've already done it." You believe it? He might do something to make you know that it was him. And that's the way he does today. He makes it known to his people, by his people, that he is God, not the man, but God. Take a light. You take one wire off, negative or positive, it certainly won't work. That's all. It's got to have the ground. It's got to be grounded. And that it's got to have the right type of wire and everything, and it'll pack the current. That's all it needs. Well, if we're really grounded in Christ, see, the Holy Ghost in us, rooted and grounded in the faith of God, it'll certainly pack the light of the gospel to the world. That's right. It'll heal the sick. It'll do great works. Amen. That's one thing about owning equipment. You ever have an issue? The first thing you have to eliminate is ground. If you don't, we spent like 6 hours and kind of all come down to the ground. Just one simple little wire is all it was. And that's all it takes in our Christian walk, is if we don't have the works and, I'm sorry, the dynamics and the mechanics put together, you're not producing the life of Christ. Amen. And when he had faith in, and we have faith in our hearts, the faith of God in our hearts, and can see it clear, it becomes a faith, and when we speak it, it comes into existence, the same thing, because the mind of Christ is in the man. That's what makes healings and so forth. When you get that perfect revelation, just what you're doing, then you know how to walk. That's it, because that's the Christian walk. Now, but the blood of animals didn't take away sin. Then when Jesus came, being God himself manifested in flesh, his blood was not after any other man's blood. Every one of us, every prophet, every great man was human blood, but this man had the divine blood. God himself created that blood cell. Amen. Amen. So faith is a revelation. And so when you get that perfect revelation, there's nothing can really stand in your way. Jude 1 and 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, it's more than what would be right to try to say if we were to contend for such a faith, and the faith that was once delivered unto the saints or the sanctified ones, then we should go back to the Bible and find out what those sanctified ones did and what kind of faith they had. When God called Christ from the grave, he ascended up. Jesus left word to his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. Signs was to follow the church. How far? Unto all the world. Some people want to limit that faith to a creed. Some want to limit it to a denomination. But I say, upon the authority of God's word, there is no limit to the faith of God that he left to his church.
Right,
amen. How far? How much? No limit. Because he said all things are possible to them that believe. It's not limited. Our faith will fail. But if we have God's life and God's faith, there is no limit. Because there is no limit to God. Amen? And it's not just for his disciples. Peter said on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts, he said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to them that is far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that faith was once delivered to the saints. As long as God's calling, that faith is ready for the believer. If you have, you'll only receive it. And Jesus said, "In vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man." Now there is a faith that was once delivered to the saints, and we're earnestly contending for that faith. Let's see what that faith was. Jesus introduced it. Sorry, I thought that was a repeat. When he first came, he went about doing good. If I told you tonight that the spirit of some person was in me, you'd expect me to impersonate that person, because the very life in me would be that life. If I told you the spirit of some great criminal was in me, why, you'd expect me to be a criminal. If I told you that the spirit of a painter was in me, you'd expect me to hold the brush right. When Elijah's spirit come back upon Elisha, Elisha was just like Elijah. And when the spirit, same spirit come on John the Baptist at 9 years old, it drove him to the wilderness. The spirit that was in you controls you. The spirit that is in you controls you. And if the spirit of Christ is in us, the body of Christ will be Christ-like in its feelings and its actions. Whatever it is, it'll be Christ-like. It'll do the works of Christ. God wants to work in the body of Christ as he did in the physical, corporal body of the Lord Jesus. I don't know how you can really get around that. Excuse me, 1 second. I don't know how people get around John 14:12. He wants to do the exact same things he did in the human man called Jesus here on earth through his bride. Not just his prophets through the age, which that's how it was done. But God expects something different from this generation and this church, amen? If we want to get out of here in a rapture. He wants to work in the body of Christ. If he can only get them to that place where they'll stand still long enough that he can place them on the foundation of his word so he can work. God cannot work contrary to his word. But there is a living God, and when we lose our disbelief and our unbelief in him and pass that place that the word is saying, the days of miracles past, it makes you shake. Oh, there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It makes you wonder. But if you'll just look at the unseen to the God who promised it, for the promise is unto you and your children, to them that is far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you'll look to the blessed word that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, turn your heads towards that and press on until you pass that vibration and pass that unbelief barrier and the sin barrier and all the barriers that seem to hinder you, then you'll fly free in the faith of God, knowing that all things are possible when there is no limit. They say hardly to the speed of a plane will go. As long as you can produce enough thrust, the plane will go as fast as it will go and disintegrate. But man can only produce so much horsepower. But God has unlimited, amen? If there is no limit to the speed of the plane will go, there is no limits to the blessings that God will pour down upon the believer that will believe. Goes to show you, like where people say, oh, well, I believe. But your actions, they don't say you believe. Look, I want you to notice something here. It's so striking. Moses commanded that they take hyssop and dip it in the blood of the lamb and spread it over the door. The blood, of course, represents the blood of Christ. The hyssop was common weeds. You can find it anywhere. Just pick up a handful of the weeds, and it shows that the blood is so simple to apply. The weeds represent faith, just faith in God. You don't have to go somewhere else. Just take the faith of God and apply the blood to your heart. I'm separated from the things of the world because by faith I applied the blood to my case this morning. I shall be healed because I applied the blood over the lintel of my heart. I'll never let doubt strike me again, for I will protect myself by placing the blood of Jesus, by faith, my hyssop, over my door. No enemy shall enter in. I'll never disbelieve God's word anymore. That's how simple it is. Now, I would not say that because that we receive the sixth sense that the five senses are no good no more. Yes, they are. Those five senses were given to you by God, and they are to be used. But when the five senses act contrary to the word of God, they are lying. Now, that goes to speak for your body. If the five senses in your body start lying to you, you need to find out where that sixth sense is and get a hold of it. Because that's the only thing that will bring those five senses into control. It's a super sense, and that's what I want to speak about this morning. I spoke on the super sign last night. The super sense is the Holy Spirit, the faith of God that dwells in you. And if you'll let the five senses be yielded to the sixth sense, it'll guide you and bring you all the other five senses under control of that super sense. For it's so far above the natural sense as the spiritual man is above the natural, it's as far and as high as the heavens is above the natural man. His five senses. It makes you believe things that you cannot see. It makes you act where you did not think the five senses would ever think about it. The devil can get into those five senses and lie to you, but he cannot touch the super sense. That's far beyond his reach. That come from God, it's called faith. Faith is that great thing. And the five senses does not control the sixth sense, but the sixth sense controls the five senses. The super sense controls the natural senses. And the five senses is to see, taste, feel, feel, smell, hear. And the super sense is about something that makes you believe God's word. For that's the only thing it'll speak about. It'll make you believe for things that you cannot see, taste, feel, smell, or hear, because it takes God's word. And it will deliver that word to you and make you walk contrary to any other thing there is but God's word. By faith. Faith does it. Amen? I think one of the greatest things is Abraham's story. And that's the place we have to get to. They were both old. Impossible to the five senses. Impossible to the human mind and the body. But to God, it wasn't impossible. Amen? Now, in giving this illustration of the senses, the natural man is born with these senses so that they are natural given senses. And that's really the only thing he'll ever know about it in his intellectual thinking. He can only think as a man. He can see as a man. He can understand as a man. He can hear as a man. But when he becomes governed and regenerated, or we'll call it born again, then that sixth super sense takes a hold of him. And in doing so, that super sense rises him up into a spot to where he has faith to believe things that he could not hear, things that he could not see, understand that he could not understand, understandings that he could not understand. He believes it anyhow because he's governed by the sixth sense, the super sense. Oh, how marvelous it is to know and to think how simple it is to believe. It was the same sixth sense one time that the Apostle Peter was laying in jail, and there were going to behead him the next day down at John Mark's house. They had a prayer meeting. The sixth sense began to accumulate around the jail where he'd been covered by prayer. That sixth sense went to work. The pillar of fire came in the window and touched Peter and said, come on, get out of here. The sixth sense, it was the sixth sense that wouldn't let St. Paul be drowned on that mighty sea when that little ship was waterlogged. It was the sixth sense that kept him from being drowned, the super sense. It was the sixth sense that when the serpent bit him on the hand, he shook it off in the fire. It was the sixth sense that did that. It was the sixth sense that raised Jesus from the dead after he'd laid in the ground because he believed the word of God, said, destroy this body and I'll raise it up on the third day. For David said, I'll not leave my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. It was that super sense cast down the reasonings of these senses. Believe the super sense in the sense of faith that Jesus Christ gives. But that same sense God spoke when there was nothing. What is that sense? The super sense is God, the faith of God in you. That part of God that comes into you gives you that super sense. But that same super sense, God framed the world together with things which was not and did not appear. He spoke his word and believed his word, and the word shook into existence. Glory. This sixth sense, the super sense, O God, pour it out on me, give it to me, and to everyone who needs it. Pour thy sixth sense into me, Lord. I'm willing to surrender these five, my knowledge, thoughts, cast down all my reasonings. Lord, let thy word be true, and every man's word be a lie. Every reasoning, every doubt be cast away, and let me walk by the super sense, the sense of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want that? That's the thing that we want. God bless you, friend. That's what we need. That super sense will ask for something, and it knows that he'll give it. It's persuaded, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If that sixth sense says God will keep his word, I give myself to him. I surrender all I've got to him. My sense says this will bring it to pass, my faith in God's word. Then call anything else contrary to it as though it wasn't. Abraham met God, and God said, you're going to have a baby by Sarah. Him 75 and her 65, Abraham called everything that wasn't contrary to that as though it wasn't. He walked as if he seen God. He believed. He called anything that he said it wasn't, any reasonings, excuse me, anything else the doctor might have said, why, Abraham, you're too old to do that. That don't make a bit of difference. What the doctor said, what anybody else said, what his own mind said, what else said, God was right and he stayed with it. There is another little door just around the corner. It's the door of faith. Oh, there's many of them. Let's talk about faith for just a moment. Now, I'll let you in, Jesus, but I've got my own faith. He can't do much for you. If you've got your own faith, I don't want no faith. I want his faith. My faith is no good. The faith of God is what I need, is what we need. God's faith in us. My faith is no good. Your faith is no good. It takes Christ to come in and stand in that door of faith and be Lord. Lord over your faith. When you read in the Bible, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, your faith will say, that's impossible. But his faith will say, amen, I am. If the critic says the days of miracles is past, the faith of God will say he doesn't know what he's talking about. If the critic says Jesus doesn't heal, the Holy Spirit standing in the door of your faith will say, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. If just makes such a difference to let him in at the door of faith, you know. The scripture we are reading a while ago said that you are naked and you are miserable and you're poor, wretched, and blind and don't know it. That's the condition that the church will become, not knowing. Amen. Now, instead of advancing on and see what God's promised, we look back and see what brother behind us says. Let's don't look back. Look forward. Keep moving on. We have an untapped resources, Jesus said in St. Mark 11:23. Whatsoever. Why, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. No conditions. It's just unlimited. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, and believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Whatever divine healing, joy, peace, anything. Now, you say, Brother Branham, what if we'd ask for something that, for somebody's life to be taken or something evil? Well, you can't really have Christian faith for a thing like that. It takes a Christian spirit to ask Christian things, to receive things from Christ. Amen. Always remember, God's words are true. I believe the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass, if you can look at it in the right way. But remember, here's my standard in life. I've tried to do this. The first thing I want to find out whether it is His will, is the will of God or not. That's what kind of what Brother Brian's been talking about, stepping into the vision. You want to know something about what God has for you, what you're supposed to do in life, whatever it is, it's in God's Word. You simply have to get down and start praying. And when you read it, you'll be like, there it is. And then you step into it. So that's what Brother Branham's saying here. The first thing, I want to find out whether it's His will or not. Well, if it's His will is His Word. So go look in His Word. If you can't find it, you probably shouldn't ask for it. Now, God does love His children. He'll give them things that they desire in their heart, I'm sure. But you should be able to find whatever you're asking for in God's Word. Amen? Then I know it's God's will. The next thing is my objective to it and my motive in doing it. Then if it's the will of God and my objective is right and my motive is right, I have faith that it'll be done. Well, who wouldn't? If you're a Christian and you've seen it in God's Word and your motive was right and your objective was right, because a lot of stories line up with our lives in the Bible, how they actually outcome, it may not be exact, but the type should tell you if your motive's right, amen? Because first, it's the will of God, and I have my objectives, and my objectives is to glorify Him. And my motive is to give Him all the glory, see? So there's no selfish motives about it. If you have a selfish motive, it will not work. If your objective is to make money for yourself or something, why, you'll never succeed. And then try to do something outside of the will of the Lord, then it won't work to begin with. See, there is genuine faith. But you must come into the real channel of God to have the genuine faith. There's human faith, then there's faith, the faith of God. And you must have a godly faith to believe. Now, then to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. So what is that? Being born again. Not necessarily your body, but your mind. Your mind's being born again, then filled with the Holy Ghost. And you must have a godly faith to believe. Now, then to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. Then, that's how God projects to you visions, revelations, and all these things that comes by the mind of Christ being in you. You get it? Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And if the faith of God came through God, and God is the Word, God's children's lives lives on faith. The Bible said, the just live by wisdom? No. The just shall live by faith. not what we can learn, but what we can believe, but what he can believe, all right? Now, we find out, let's take the wisdom first. Wisdom has reasoning. Faith has no reasoning, but wisdom has reasonings. Let's just start turning in the Bible, and let's turn into Genesis. Brother Bram goes on to continue. I didn't put much of that down. But God is the author of faith. Satan is the author of wisdom and reasoning. He did it in the garden. He does it every single time. Because if you listen to that five senses, he'll say, there's no way. What you're asking for is impossible. They said, no. It doesn't work for the believer. It doesn't settle. It doesn't settle for less. But in the days of Malachi 4, it is to come to, with the very word. The word of the Lord came to the prophet. In the evening light is to come forth, to restore, to bring back, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers, that fourth light. How can I ever go to heaven? How can you go to heaven? We can't do it. We, and no way for us to do it, but there's one that made a way, and he is the way. And how we get to him? By one spirit. His spirit, we're baptized into one body, which will raise us, be raised up like an orbit. We'll go out of the earth as astronauts of this last day in the faith of God. Amen? Sure. Repent, sinners. Don't have to worry. Repentant sinners don't have to worry. Someone is there in their place. Amen. Then after we have come into his presence now, we know we've been in his presence. We've seen him do things that he did when he was here on earth. How do you know? How do you know the vine you're looking at? Because the fruit it bears. How do you know the church where you're going to? By the fruit it bears. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, the only thing that you have to do is have faith in what you are. God's word tells us what we are. We're each one sons and daughters of God. The only thing you have to do is have faith in what you are. Have faith in what the Word says you are. And Jesus had faith in the Word of God. He said what he was, it is written of me. Didn't David in the Psalms and the prophets all speak of him? I am the bread of life that cometh from God out of heaven. Amen. I am the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. I am all these things. I am that I am. And he knew with that perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah, that the Spirit of God was upon him. He said, now I in myself do nothing but it's my faith in God. And God was in him. And the Word was manifest. And when the Word of God comes in you, it's made manifest. For you are a believer. See, in a believer, the faith of God, that a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. And he promised you the same thing that is. If you could believe that it would happen, if you couldn't believe, it just won't happen. Now, I can make you believe. I can't make you believe. Neither can you make yourself believe. God has got to give it to you. It's a gift to believe. Not your faith, God's faith. Your intellectual faith might believe it just fine, but unless the faith of God is down in your heart, see, the intellectual faith can accept it, do that, and just keep believing it all with all your heart until God does reveal it to you. See, just keep believing it until God does reveal it. But unless he reveals it, amen. So the faith of God. God is love. It just goes to show you how deep it really is. Brother Brian's been touching on it. I think it's a pretty big subject. It'll probably take a long time to go through. But if his word said it, all you got to do is believe it. Like Brother Brian said in that last quote, if it's just mental, it's got to come through here to get to here. But if it is here, you keep believing in your mind until it actually becomes a reality in your heart. There's nothing too big for God. Sometimes I wonder why things happen the way they do. God has a plan, whether you know it or not. Know the beginning from the end. My wife asked me yesterday, she's like, well, why do some people get to just go do whatever they want, and then some, as soon as they make a mistake, God takes them? I said, probably because the ones that are out running around and don't ever get punished aren't his. The ones that are his, he chastises. So we don't know why, but God knows why. Amen. So God bless you. Remember Brother Brian and Sister LaVon as they travel home. And I believe for Rhoda's, they're flying home or already flown home Tuesday. So remember them in prayer as they travel home. It's awful nice to get to see them, get to see Rhoda's parents and her sister. Let us all stand and we'll close our service this morning with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly stand before you this morning, Lord, and Lord, we are no good. What we do a lot of times is no good, Father, but what you did for us, Lord, is what we hold on to, and what you said in your word, Lord, is more than life to us. Lord, allow us to, in this end time, be able to take a walk like Enoch did and not return one day, Father, in that rapture. Lord, and we know that it's just the simple hyssop of applying your word, your blood, the token to our lives, Father, that we'll be able to do that. Lord, for those things that seem impossible in our lives, Father, Lord, help us to have your faith, Father, and not our own faith and our own five senses, Lord, that we could try to control, Lord, what you would have for us in our lives. May those things be revealed to us, Father, Lord, that we need to be able to leave this earth someday, Father. Lord, we look for your coming. Help us just to be prepared. Give us the faith of the Father, Father, that would just ignite us, Father, and would be able to stand in the face of anything that come up and against our lives, Lord, where Satan would say, it's not for you. It's not possible. But by your word, Lord, we can say, and with your faith, Father, we can say, it is written. So, Lord, we lift these up before you this morning, Lord. Be with those that are overseas today, Father. May you be their portion. Father, may you bless each and every one through this week, Father. May you keep us safe, Lord. May the things that we do and the things that we say be glorifying to you. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let us sing, Take the Name of Jesus With You.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus.